The Colorado Rockies have happily surprised their fans just by making the playoffs for the first time in history. They were just a strike away from elimination in the final days of the regular season. They have since gone on to amaze their fans. Last night in Denver, Colorado, the Rockies swept out the Arizona Diamondbacks, and they're now set to go on to the World Series. Alan Schwartz covers sports for the New York Times, where he's a correspondent. He joins us today from his office in New York City. He's our baseball pal here on Talk of the Nation. Alan, good to talk to you.
Oh, good to talk to you too, Neil.
And in the course of this, I guess just a month ago, the Colorado Rockies were in fourth place in their division.
Yeah, and they went on one of the greatest runs in the history of sports. They won 13 of 14 games to end what is the regular schedule. They won the do-or-die playoff. They sweep seven games against the Cubs and the Diamondbacks to win the pennant in the National League. They've won 21 of 22 games, almost all of them do-or-die, basically.
And
it's amazing.
And not only amazing, it's almost unprecedented.
Virtually. I mean, there have been runs, for instance, the 1977 Kansas City Royals won 24 of 25 games. But they weren't games with this type of pressure. They were running away with their division, basically. And that was in the September of 1977. Something like this. I mean, I talked to some general managers yesterday of other clubs, and they can't believe what they're seeing.
They can't believe what they're seeing. This was a team. It wasn't stupidity that a lot of writers left them for dead a month ago.
Well, no, it wasn't stupidity. Hey, when you're in fourth place behind three pretty decent teams, those being the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks, and the Padres at the time, the chances of coming back are indescribably small. But they did win 13 of 14 games. The Mets lost, I think it was 12 of 17, something like that. I think they went 5-12. The Padres did not do as well, certainly, and they lost that final game against the Rockies. And next thing you know, they're the wild card. They had been the wild card once before in 1995, but exited the playoffs quite quickly. But now they're just beating everybody every night, and now they have to cool their heels for a week to await the winner of the American League.
Not just a week, but I think 9 days altogether before they find out who they're going to be. Well, longer, shorter than that, before they find out who they're playing. But nevertheless, this is a team that, not exactly a bunch of household names.
No, not necessarily. I have a story going in tomorrow's paper, a little bit trying to describe how this team came about, because they do have quite an interesting history. But these are players who were drafted and signed by the Rockies originally and came up through their minor league system, most of them. And this team really did it the right way. They tried all sorts of strategies over the years, but this one, a very, you know, time-honored one of signing talented amateurs and growing them together and letting them learn to win together in a nurturing environment, has worked and worked extraordinarily well. And I tell you, this ain't the best that Colorado will ever be, probably. They have some of the best collection of young talent we've seen in a long time.
We're talking with New York Times correspondent Alan Schwartz, whose latest book is Once Upon a Game, Baseball's Greatest Memories. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And you talked about the team in Denver being constructed the right way. Well, there's another team still in the playoffs. The Cleveland Indians could argue that's the way their team was constructed, too.
Oh, well, it isn't just one team that's built the right way. Interestingly enough, the general manager of the Cleveland Indians, Mark Shapiro, was mentored by the current general manager of the Colorado Rockies, Dan O'Dowd. And interestingly enough, the general manager who was just bounced from the playoffs, Josh Burns, was also with the Indians in the late 90s. So it really was quite an executive breeding ground in Cleveland in the late 90s, and they learned from the fact that Cleveland had bottomed out through most of the 70s and 80s, but then rebuilt the team with young talent, making sure that they locked up that talent to long-term contracts and had some cost certainty, and were able to really project their payroll and project their improvement through the early 90s and into the time when they began contending in 1994 and 1995. They won the American League pennant in 95. And that became a blueprint for a modern club to basically blow itself up and start all over again and then be reborn with a collection of young talent. That's one of the reasons why Dan O'Dowd was hired in Colorado, and that was one of the reasons why Mark Shapiro was hired in Cleveland. And Shapiro did it, thanks in large part to some trades of veterans to the then Montreal Expos. That's how he got Grady Sizemore and a few other players. And, it really is the blueprint. But to be honest, most executives know that that's the way to do it. The question is do you have the scouts who are able to identify the proper players to acquire. And that really is the hidden strength of the Rockies right now. They have an exceptionally good scouting and development department, and that's why you have the shortstop Troy Tulowitzki out there. You have Brad Hopp. You have Garrett Atkins. You have Jeff Francis. All of these guys, Matt Holliday is an MVP candidate. These were all guys who were signed as amateurs by the Rockies before anyone had ever heard of them and thought they ever would.
You mentioned the Cleveland Indian teams who were grown and built that way in the mid-1990s. One of the centerpieces of that team remains a centerpiece of the other team that's still left in the playoffs. Of course, the Boston Red Sox, a team that has also got its share of youngsters from their organization, but also built with a lot of free agents, too.
Yeah, I mean, well, basically, the Red Sox are, of course, a bit of a different animal. They have as much money as anybody except the New York Yankees. They really are sort of the Yankees light. And so it's difficult to consider Boston in the same light as one would a mid-market team like Cleveland or Colorado. But they do understand the importance of player development, and they do have some young players who have come through the system. They're just not nearly as reliant upon that as a matter of course as most of the other teams in baseball must be.
Let's get a caller on the line, and this is Dale, and Dale's calling us from Central Ohio.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I'm really glad that Colorado swept. Now they have plenty of time to cool off. So once Cleveland gets finished with kicking some Boston butt, then they can roar right through the Rockies, too.
I see a partisan call here from Central Ohio.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
And by the way, about 3 or 4 years ago, people in Cleveland were about ready to run Shapiro out of town on a rail. They were so disgusted with him, but it's good to see he's a hero again. He's put together a pretty darn good team.
Well, he does know what he's doing, and a lot of the things that an executive has to do at the beginning of the blowing up process is make people, you know, pretty upset. He traded Bartolo Colon when he really didn't have to.
That's really shown to pay off now, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he got, Cliff Lee, Grady Sizemore, and Brandon Phillips. Brandon Phillips now succeeding for the Cincinnati Reds, but nonetheless, that was an example of an executive knowing what he had to do and doing it exceptionally well, even when it wasn't popular.
And he got, I think last year was a big disappointment in Cleveland. Their pitching staff did not come through. Nevertheless, the executives there gave Mark Shapiro an extension at the beginning of this year.
Yeah, he did. It was a good thing, and it's good to see Kenny Lofton back. He's come back to get his World Series ring in Cleveland.
Kenny Lofton, another centerpiece of that team in Cleveland in the 1990s. Dale, thanks very much for the call. The Indians at this point lead the Red Sox 2-1. They beat Daisuke Matsuzaka, the highly priced rookie, quote-unquote, from Japan in the game last night. And we'll have to see tonight when Tim Wakefield takes the mound as to if the Cleveland Indians can take a 3-1 lead, usually considered the lethal 3-1 lead. But, hey, it's baseball. You never know what can happen. Alan Schwartz, thanks very much for being with us today. We'll look forward to your piece in the paper tomorrow.
My pleasure, Neil. Anytime.
Alan Schwartz, a correspondent for the New York Times. He covers sports. He joined us today from his office in New York City. His latest book is Once Upon a Game, Baseball's Greatest Memories. We'd like to thank all of those, including Alan Schwartz and Megan Dama, who participated with us today. A lot of what you heard was not planned, or at least not planned in the order in which it appeared. So thank you for your patience and for your calls and your participation as well. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.